Well, very briefly, let us just look at a portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Just read from verse 1. It tells us, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Here we see that this man Saul was a very famous man, a famous Pharisee, very religious man. And just like many of religious people today who are sincere in their faith, they don't like anything that would go against their faith. And of course, Saul looked on the Christians and what they believed in as something that went against Judaism. And he hated them. He hated them so much that he wanted to destroy them. He wanted to take them back to Jerusalem from Damascus and put them into prison. Saul, he knew about Jesus. He knew that this was a man who claimed to be the Son of God. He knew that he died on the cross. Of course, he thought that the leaders of the church did a good job in getting rid of this troublemaker, this rebel. And so we could say in one way he was a believer. He believed in Jesus. Many people, if you're talking to them in the street, they would say, "Oh yes, I believe in Jesus." What they mean to say is, "I believe that there was such a man." They believe that indeed he did die on the cross, because there not just is the proof from the Word of God, but we have other manuscripts that indeed claim this as well. And so they can say, "Yes, I believe in it." But just like Saul, they didn't believe, they don't believe that Jesus is really the Messiah, the Son of God. He believed in Jesus, but he didn't believe that he was the Messiah. He was completely against this belief that this Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, was indeed the Son of God. And that is the belief that he wanted to stamp out. He didn't want that to get root. And he wanted to stamp it out as quickly as he could. And he was a man who was sincere in his belief. And so many Roman Catholics are sincere in their beliefs. But unfortunately, they're sincerely wrong. They think they're right, just as Saul thought he was right, but they're oh so wrong. This man, he hated the Christians. It tells us there in the verse 3 of chapter 8 of Acts, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison." He didn't care who it was. Whether it was a man, a woman, a child, an old person, he wanted to get rid of them all. He hated them. We can wonder, how could he have such hatred? But you know, whenever someone really believes in something, and unfortunately we see that today, many have different faiths. And they're not tolerant. Not tolerant one bit. And today we're supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be tolerant. But you know what? They're going to be tolerant of everything but the Christian. And today we're finding that there's going to rise a real persecution against the Church of Christ. Saul hated Christians. He was determined to eradicate this new religion off the face of the earth. And so he went to the priests. He went to the high priest and he got these letters. of authority to go to Damascus. Why? Because he heard that there was some of this way. That's what they called it then. This way of thinking. This new way of thinking. And he wanted to get rid of them. And whenever he heard that, he got this authority and he thought, right, there's nothing going to stop me now. And he was determined. He was going to march days to get to this place. But you know, on the last day of his journey, Christ himself stopped him. Christ himself stopped him. A light shone from heaven. He fell to the ground. And there in the dirt, Christ says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he was trembling, wondering, what is this? What? Who is this? Who could this be? And he says, who art thou, Lord? Not that he thought it was the Lord. Not that he knew it was the Lord. He didn't know who this was. But he knew this was no ordinary man. And what a thought whenever he heard the reply. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What would he have thought in that moment, lying in the dirt? And this man wasn't stupid. He had studied the whole of the Old Testament. He knew about the Messiah that had to come. He was waiting for the Messiah. And he thought he was serving God by persecuting these Christians. And there and then he found out that he was wrong. He was fighting against God's people. Not only that, he was fighting against God. God himself. Not only that, he realized that his people had killed, had crucified their Messiah. The one that they were waiting for centuries. The promised prince. They, with cruel hands, had nailed him to the tree. They spat upon him, they laughed at him, they jeered at him. And he realized there and then what a fool he had been. I'm sure he probably thought he was going to just be killed there and then. I'm sure he thought that God was just going to smack him like a fly. That's what he deserved. What could he say? What did he say? He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? He just says, take me, Lord. I've been a fool for so long. I'm yours. And the Lord took him. And the Lord made him the greatest missionary that ever lived. He says, go into Samaria and wait there. And I will show you what I'm going to do with you. The Lord does that. He just reveals step by step his will. We don't know what the Lord's going to do in the future. He just reveals this step now. And we by faith must take that step. And it's really a blessing not knowing what the future holds. But, you know, we know that the Lord holds the future. And that's what we are trusting in. That's what we're trusting in. Because I believe we're in for a very bleak future in these incoming years. But friends, Saul, he went into Damascus. And then the Lord spoke to another one who knew who it was, Ananias. Whenever the Lord spoke to him, he said he knew that it was the Lord. And he told Ananias what he wanted him to do. Tells us there in the verse 11, he says, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Here the Lord reveals to him exactly what he has to do. But what did Ananias say? He answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." The fame of this man had gone before him. The people knew he was coming, and they knew why he was coming. He was coming to bind these people, to take them to Jerusalem, to get them tried and thrown into prison and maybe even put to death. And Ananias was scared, even though the Lord assured him that he prays. He's a changed man. But the Lord had to convince him more. He says, "Go thy way," in verse 15, "for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." He promised him suffering. He didn't tell Saul that at that time. But we know afterwards how much he did suffer for the Lord. How much that man suffered for the Lord. And friends, the Lord doesn't promise us prosperity, a life of ease. The Lord doesn't promise us that. Maybe there is going to be some here who are going to suffer and suffer greatly. But the Lord promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord promises us that he will be with us in the fire of the suffering. Just as he was with those three Hebrew children walking in the fire. There was four, it wasn't three. Christ was with them. And the flames had no power over them. Friends, sometimes in the suffering is whenever we truly learn to trust the Lord. We need those times of suffering. But Saul, he was willing. He was willing to risk his life for the Lord. What did he do? It tells us there in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Here he is. You think of this. You just think of a cardinal in the Catholic Church coming to Christ, getting saved, and getting back up into his Catholic Church on the Sunday and preaching against the Church of Rome, preaching against the Pope, preaching against Mariology, preaching against purgatory, preaching against all the scandals of the Catholic Church, and preaching Christ, that the only way of salvation is through Christ and not the Church. What would the people think? What would the people think? How long would he last? That's what Saul did. He went to the very synagogue where the Jews were, worshipping. These people that hated Christians. And he got up there and he preached Christ. What did he preach? He preached that this Christ was indeed the Son of God. That Jesus, this man that you crucified, was the Son of God. Was the Messiah. We, as the Jews, have been fools that we've killed our own Messiah. But praise God, he's alive. And I'm just after meeting him on the road. And he's changed my life. I'm a new man. And he can give you life and life eternal. That's what he preached. What did these people think? Oh, great, that's wonderful. Let's all believe in Jesus. No, that wasn't the reaction. Look down there in the verse 23 and says, "After that many days were fulfilled," he was there many days, "the Jews took counsel to kill him." They weren't going to let him off with it. Saul had come to destroy the church. And he came a missionary of the church. But now the Jews were coming to destroy Saul. And later on they had to let him down in a basket at night time to get away. Here was a man who risked his life for the Savior. Friends, what does your religion cost you? What risks are you taking for the Lord? And many times maybe the opportunity has arose whenever you could have spoken a word. but maybe for fear of losing a friend. Fear maybe of offending a loved one. Fear maybe of being looked on as a fanatic. What have you done? We said nothing. Yes, friend. This man, he got up and he preached when it would have cost him his life. He would rather have been a fool for Christ. Everything else he had, he counted but dung, that he might win Christ. But we hold on to everything we have. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose our friends. We don't want to lose our reputation. We don't want to lose our custom. Maybe clients. We don't want to say a word to them in case, well, I'm not going to do any business with this fanatic. We fear. Do we fear God? Do we fear that these people are going to fall into hell? Do we fear the awful consequences of sin? That these people are sinning and sinning against the holy God, and we keep our mouths shut and say nothing. And friends, we have to see a greater vision. We have to do everything for the glory of God. May our reputation be tramped into the dirt. That doesn't matter. But that Christ should be glorified. What are you doing to glorify Christ? What risks are you taking? What does your religion cost you? Saul, he had a brilliant career ahead of him, respected amongst his people. He threw it all away. But he asked Christ, friend, that is the most important thing of all. Do you love him? Do you love him above your career? Your nice house? Your nice car? Your work? Your friends? Your family. He says, if you don't, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of you. Christ hung in shame, friends, on the cross. He died. He died for us. What sacrifice can we give? That'll be too much. Give him your life. Give him your all. Be like Saul here. And straightway. He didn't think about it twice. Straightway. He preached Christ in the synagogues. May God give us strength. May God give us courage. May God give us a love for the lost. Maybe you're not called to go to Spain. But are you called to stay here? Do you know the will of God for your life? Are you called to stay just where you are? I know whenever we went to Spain, I searched the scriptures. I prayed to God in earnest because I didn't want to make a foolish decision. But how often do we search the scriptures to not make the foolish decision? Decision to stay just where we are. If the Lord wants us someplace else, do we really seek the Lord to know his will? Give him your life. Give him your all. Praise God, he's a wonderful master. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.